I'm also eternal and everlasting, Father. We're thankful because of who you are. We're thankful that you show us your mercy beyond anything we can even comprehend. We're thankful that you're such a loving God, so patient with us. We cannot express our gratitude to you because we don't have adequate words to praise you for all that you do for us. But this evening, we have gathered together to study a portion of your word. We are aware that the human mind is incapable of understanding anything that is spiritual. So it is our request that the Holy Spirit will enable us to hear precisely what you have for us this evening. This is our request in Christ's name. Amen. We're still in Exodus 12, verses 43 through 51. Exodus chapter 12, verses 43 through 51. We will end it this evening. I'm going to begin reading in verse 47. The whole community of Israel must celebrate it. An alien living among you who wants to celebrate the Lord's Passover must have all the males in his household circumcised. Then he may step out like one born in the land. No uncircumcised male may eat of it. The same law applies to the native born and to the alien living among you. All the Israelites did just what the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. And on that very day, the Lord brought the Israelites out of Egypt by their divisions. Now, in the introduction of this section, we indicated that it is concerned with restrictions placed on Israel by the Lord through Moses regarding the celebration of the Passover. However, that this section is concerned with two major instructions that deal with qualifications of the participants in the eating of the Passover and the handling of the meat of the Passover given in verses 43 through 48. Now, these instructions, we indicated, are followed by concluding statements regarding the uniformity of application of the rules regarding the Passover, the obedience of Israel, and their deliverance from slavery in Egypt in verses 49 through 51. Now, so having considered the two major instructions in details, we turn our attention to the concluding statements of our passage. Indeed, there are three concluding statements in these three verses, but we will present them as involving two spiritual principles. A first spiritual principle derived from the three concluding statements of Exodus 12, verses 49 through 51, is that all believers are equally subject to the requirements of the Word of God, regardless of their social status in the society. Again, that all believers are equally subject to the requirements of the Word of God, regardless of their social status in the society. Now, this principle means the demands of the Word of God are equally applicable to all believers, regardless of their social status in a society. Now, we live in a world that is tainted by sin, so that some people think they are above the law because of their privileged position. In this country, we hear so much said about law and order. But some of these, or those who quite often speak about law and order, are themselves not bound by law and order. I mean that some think that the concept of law and order has only to do with law enforcement, so that they find a way to circumvent the laws, that they are not, you know, as long as they are not directly enforced by the law enforcement. Well, so there are others, laws that we should understand that really make the law and order a true statement. You take, for example, the same people who speak so much of law and order are often guilty of hate or exploitation of others. Now, many of those who speak of law and order ignore the fact that hate or exploitation is a violation of God's law. So when some people speak of law and order, they think only of law enforcement. Now, even then, some of those who think in terms of law enforcement, often because of their position in the society, are treated differently by the law enforcement, that one wonders how such individuals could actually speak of law and order when they are not obeying the law themselves. Now, contrary to selective application of the concept of law and order, the principle we are considering is that all believers are subject to the same requirement of God's word, regardless of social standing in society. The first principle, spiritual principle, as I've stated, is that all believers are equally subject to the requirement of the word of God, regardless of their social status in the society. Now, this principle is actually based on the sentence of Exodus 12, verse 49, when it says, "The same law applies to the native born and to the alien living among you." See, the phrase, "the same law," is literally one law, one law. Now, this is because the adjective "same" is translated from a Hebrew word that should be used to now, a card. That as an adjective of quantity may mean one or same. In this verse, it has a sense of identical or unchanged, so that the adjective "same" is probably the best way to translate the Hebrew word in the sentence that we're considering. Thus, the phrase "the same law" implies that the same regulations are intended in our verse. Now, we use the word "regulation" because the word "law" is translated from a Hebrew word, Torah, that is more commonly translated "law" in our English versions. However, the Hebrew word has other meanings, even when it is translated with the word "law" in the English. For example, the word may mean instruction, as that given to Israel regarding collection of manna that the Lord sent to them in the desert, as we read in Exodus chapter 16, verse 4. Exodus chapter 16, verse 4. It is, "Then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions." See that here, the word actually means instruction. The same Hebrew word that means law. Now, the word also may mean regulation, as it is used concerning rules that govern sin offering, as stated in Leviticus chapter 6, verse 25. Leviticus chapter 6, verse 25. It is, "Say to Aaron and his sons, these are the regulations for the sin offering. The sin offering is to be slaughtered before the Lord in the place the burnt offering is slaughtered. It is most holy." Okay, so here the Hebrew word translated regulation. Now the Hebrew word may simply mean teaching, as it applies to instructions a child receives from the mother. This is the way it is used in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20. It is, "My son, keep your father's commands and do not forsake your mother's teaching." You see, both of them, your father's commands, your mother's teaching, both are premised on the fact that father and mother are believers. Because then they will have to pass to their children absolute truth. In other words, they don't give their children their biases. They teach them what the Bible teaches, regardless of how painful it is. So these are those who can command their children, and mother can teach their children, because they will be teaching what is in the Word of God. Now, although the meaning law is not wrong in Exodus 12:49, but because many of us think of the word law primarily in terms of divine commandments given in the Old Testament, it is probably better then to use the meaning regulation in Exodus 12 verse 49, as we find in some English versions, such as in today's English version. Now, this means that the law conveyed to Israel through Moses that the same regulations that govern Israelites should govern the aliens among them regarding the celebration of the Passover. Now, that the same regulations should govern Israelites and aliens among them is conveyed in Exodus, where we're starting 12 verse 49, when it says, "The same law applies to the native born and to the alien living among you." Now the sentence, "the same law applies to native born," is more literally, one law will be for the native. One law will be for the native, as reflected in the English Standard Version and a few other English versions. Now, this is because the word "applies" of the NIV is translated from a Hebrew verb that with a more literal meaning of to be, although it has a range of meanings. For example, the word may mean to serve, as in God's explanation for the creation of lights that serve as to demarcate seasons, as we read in Genesis chapter 1 verse 14. Genesis chapter 1 verse 14. Genesis chapter 1 verse 14. It reads, "And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years." See, the expression "let them serve as signs" is literally from the Hebrew, "let them be as signs." let them be as signs. Now the word may mean to remain or to continue or to abide, as that is the sense the word is used to describe the period of the time the ark of Israel remained in the land of Philistines in 1 Samuel chapter 6 verse 1. 1 Samuel chapter 6 verse 1. 1 Samuel chapter 6 verse 1. For Samuel chapter 6 verse 1. It reads, when the ark of the Lord had been in Philistine territory 7 months. Now, have been there is our Hebrew word, and it can be translated in some English version, remained. When he had remained in Philistine. Now in our passage of Exodus 12:49, the meaning of the Hebrew word is either to apply or to govern. To apply or to govern. Thus, the same regulations regarding the Passover apply or govern both the Israelites and the aliens living among them. Now, what does the Lord mean really in the phrase same law? Same law. What is that? He means the qualifications and instructions he gave to Israel regarding the celebration of the Passover. So the Lord referred first to the qualification of being circumcised. Now, circumcision, as we have already studied, is a necessary condition that must be made or be satisfied before anyone could celebrate the Passover, regardless of whether he is an Israelite or an alien living among the Israelites. Now, most people have never really realized it has never been God's plan for one people to live in a particular country without foreigners in that country. It has never been that way. And that's why everywhere you look at it from the scripture, you will see instruction to Israel that indicates God anticipates aliens to live among them. Now, as we considered in our last study, it is this requirement that certainly kept the Israelites born during the Exodus from celebrating the Passover until they were circumcised by Joshua as they entered Canaan. Now the second thing the Lord referred in the phrase same law concerns the manner of eating of the meat of the Passover. It does not matter whether the participants were Israelites or aliens living among them, the meal was to be eaten inside the houses, and the bones of the Passover lamb were never to be broken. Hence, the qualification and the conditions for eating the meat of the Passover are what the Lord conveyed in that phrase, same law. Those conditions and those requirements. Now, by the way, the first spiritual principle then, that all believers are equally subject to the requirements of the Word of God, regardless of their social status in the society, is one that is conveyed to Israel. Not only about the celebration of the Passover, but in other instructions, such as the application of death penalty, the concept of proportionality of judgment or punishment, and restitution applied to Israel, just as applied to the aliens living among them, according to Leviticus chapter 24, verses 17 through 22. Leviticus 24:17-22. Now, I'm going to show you several passages just to solidify that concept that all believers are equally subject to the requirements of the Word of God regardless of their social status in a society. So here I'm showing you how God continuously showed to Israel, instructed them, you must maintain the same standard when it comes to several things. So here we have, in Leviticus 24:17, it reads, if anyone takes the life of a human being, he must be put to death. Now, I mean, people have really ignored the Bible, and we go by emotions. It doesn't say how a person takes a person's life. Here's the problem. This is what God states, and the Bible is clear. It's not all kinds of killing of a person that results in death, but some incarceration. But this whole idea that, you know, if you kill with all kinds of justification, then that you're free. No. And also, the idea that some people say, well, the person is insane, and therefore shouldn't be tried for murder or whatever. And that's the more reason the person should be tried and taken out of the society. But you know, those things are not popular. Anyway, it says, if anyone takes the life of a human being, he must be put to death. Anyone who takes the life of someone's animals must make restitution, life for life. If anyone injures his neighbor, whatever he has done must be done to him. That's what I mentioned by proportionality of punishment. Fracture for fracture, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. As he has injured the other, so he is to be injured. Whoever kills an animal must make restitution, but whoever kills a man must be put to death. You are to have the same law for the alien and the native born. I am the Lord your God. Now, of course, all this, what I've just read, are laws that govern any nation or should govern nations. That is law that's applied. That's something a little bit different on an individual basis. This is to be applied mostly by the law enforcement. It's a different thing if somebody injures you on a personal basis, then you are not to retaliate as a believer. That's an entirely different thing. But we're looking at the society governed by a law or law and others, we say. Now, the same application of this first principle that we have stated is evident in the procedure for offering burnt offering that must be followed by the Israelites and the aliens living in Israel, as stated in Numbers chapter 15, verses 8 through 16. Numbers chapter 15, 8 through 16. It is, when you prepare a young bull as a burnt offering or sacrifice for a special vow or a fellowship offering to the Lord, bring with the bull a grain offering of 3/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with half a hin of oil. Also bring half a hin of wine as a drink offering. It will be an offering made by fire, an aroma pleasing to the Lord. Each bull or ram, each lamb or young goat is to be prepared in this manner. Do this for each one, for as many as you prepare. Everyone who is native born must do these things. In the same way, when he brings an offering made by fire as an aroma pleasing to the Lord. For the generations to come, whenever an alien or anyone else living among you presents an offering made by fire as an aroma pleasing to the Lord, he must do exactly as you do. The community is to have the same rules for you and for the alien living among you. This is a lasting ordinance for the generations to come. You and the alien shall be the same before the Lord. The same laws and regulations will apply both to you and to the alien living among you. So here again, as I'm going to continue to show you, the issue is trying to emphasize that principle. When it comes to what God requires, it makes no difference what your social standing is. You are held accountable to the same standard as every other person. So here, of course, we also have to think, in light of what we've been studying on Sunday, that Israel has been set aside as to be an example to the nations. And so, everything that is given to them, I mean, the sacrifices, we know, all the shadows of what to come, which is Christ going to the cross. But the principles of all the other things given are still applicable to all of us today. Now, similarly, this same principle is applied to sacrifice for unintentional sin. Unintentional sin. That is to be followed by both the Israelites and the aliens living among them, as we read still in Numbers, look at chapter 15, verses 27 through 29. Verse 27. But if just one person sins unintentionally, he must bring a year-old female goat for a sin offering. Now, I think this is always something that we have to do. Say, well, every sin seems to be intentional. Not really. Here is the thing. Unintentional sin means you overcome by sin and you sin. Now, when people sin intentionally, they know what the Bible teaches, they ignore it. In other words, as I say, the Hebrew indicates something like raising your fist. In other words, you're daring God. You know what he said, but you just could careless, because whatever it is, you want to satisfy yourself in whatever it is. That is a sin that's intentional. And that way, you put yourself in a big danger with God. Thus, it is clear that the spiritual principle that we stated, based on the statement of Exodus 12 verse 49, is indeed a general one that applies to every believer. So, we repeat that then, that a false spiritual principle derived from the three concluding statements of Exodus 12, 49 through 51 is that all believers are equally subject to the requirements of the Word of God, regardless of their social status in the society. A second spiritual principle is something that you have had 100 times, and we'll see here maybe 1,000 times more, we don't know. But this is something that we all have to pay attention. We hear it, but how actually we use it is an entirely different story. So a second spiritual principle is this, that obedience on the part of believers is the key to receiving God's blessing. Obedience is the key to receiving God's blessing. Now, there are a lot of believers who experience the Lord in a, what I call, in a superficial manner. And they want to compare themselves with the other believer who is very devoted to the Lord in every way. And they're seeing some things that you can't never experience because you have decided not to live in obedience. You may give the veneer, the appearance, that you're such a fine believer. And even you may come here regularly. That doesn't mean that you're being obedient either. Until you start applying what you hear. And that's when you begin to see what I say, the key to receiving God's blessing is that obedience. Now, I do not mean to insult anyone, though, by defining obedience. Since the word in English, that is a word that every English-speaking person understands. But in communicating the spiritual principle that we have here, it is necessary for me to define what we mean by obedience. See, I know what it is. Yes, I know. So I'm not insulting you. Nonetheless, here's what I want to do. The concise Oxford English Dictionary defines obedience as, quote, compliance with an order or law or submission to another's authority. End of quote. That's how the dictionary defines it. Thus, an obedience, in a general sense, involves a willing submission to the authority of someone else and doing what the person asks to be done. However, when we speak of obedience in this study, we are concerned with God. It is not merely a willingness to submit oneself to the will of God and putting it into effect, but also following every detail involved in a given command. That's the difference in when we're talking about obedience, where we're studying it. It's not that you just do what is told, but you have to follow the detail exactly. That's when we say, we talk about obedience from God's perspective. So I'm saying this. Noah, for example, obeyed God, although the word obey is not used in describing him, but that is exactly what he did in carrying out every detail of the instruction he received from God regarding the construction of the ark and the preservation of animals during the flood, as we read in Genesis chapter 6, verse 22. Genesis chapter 6 verse 22. It is, Noah did everything just as God commanded him. See, everything. That's the detail, as I'm going to show more. So anyway, to me, and you should now know about it, the most biblical illustration that obedience involves following every detail of God's instruction is events associated with King Saul. I've used it many times. I will still use many more when I want to emphasize this concept. The Lord gave him a command through Prophet Samuel, as we read in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 3. First Samuel chapter 15, because we're going to go through a lot of verses here. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 3 reads, "Now go, attack the Amalekites and totally destroy everything that belongs to them. That is why I say everything that belongs to them. Do not spare them. Put to death men and women, children and infants, cattle and sheep, camels and donkeys. So the command involves total destruction of every living thing in the city of Amalek. But Saul made an exception to the instruction as he carried out the instruction, as we can gather, look at verses 8 and 9 for Samuel chapter 15. Look at verses 8 and 9. Verse 8 says, he took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive, and all his people he totally destroyed with a sword. But Saul and the army spared Agag and the best of the sheep and cattle, the fat calves and lambs, everything that was good. These they were unwilling to destroy completely. But everything that was despised and weak, they totally destroyed. Now Saul did not exactly what God instructed him. But because he destroyed the city, although he spared the king and other animals, he was convinced. He obeyed God, as we can learn from his response to Prophet Samuel when confronted regarding the lack of obedience to God's word. As we gather from look at, say, 1 Samuel 15, verses 20 through 21. Now, the thing about these two verses is really a reminder how easy we all can get blinded spiritually. And we think we're just doing fine. We get so blinded because certain things seem to be going our ways. We think we're doing well, and yet we're blinded. So that's Saul here illustrates that. Maybe, like I said, you know, maybe because you attend Bible class and so on, and you're regular, so you think I'm doing well. Are you? Look at what Saul said between him and Samuel, so you can see my point here. He said, but Samuel said, you didn't obey the Lord. Look at his response. But I did obey the Lord, Saul said. Really? You did? Now notice, he said, I went on the mission the Lord assigned me. I completely destroyed the Amalekites. Look at the next thing. And brought back Agag the king. Now, where in the world is all minus one become all? See, that's what we all have to contend with. That it's very easy for all of us to fall into this self-righteousness where we think we've done what God said, not knowing we're leaving out some detail. Verse 21 says, the soldiers took sheep and cattle from the plunder, the best of what was devoted to God, in order to sacrifice them to the Lord your God at Gilgal. And that's his justification. Now imagine when we all get into self-denial, that's what happens. Now he's finding someone to blame. He's the leader. If he said, don't touch any of those, none of them will do that. He's the leader. But, you know, for whatever reason he did not, now he's blaming other people. So, the point is that Saul did not follow the details of the instruction he received. Therefore, although for all practical purposes, he could be viewed as having carried out God's instruction, but the fact that he did not follow exactly every detail of the instruction, God judged him as not obeying his word. This we know. Look at 4 Samuel 15. Look at verses 22 through 23. Verses 22 through 23 reads, "But Samuel replied, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king." So you see, God's definition is different from what saying just being willing to do what somebody ordered. We have to follow the details. If we don't follow the detail, no obedience. See, that's what makes it different. So in any case, we know that when the details of God's instruction are not followed, a person could not claim to obey God's word. Now in our passage of study, Israel indeed obeyed God's word, as we read in Exodus 12 verse 50. Go back where we started in Exodus 12 verse 50. It reads, "All the Israelites did just what the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron." Now the Holy Spirit, through the human author, emphasized the fact that all Israelites obeyed God's instruction through Moses and Aaron, because what is given in the Hebrew text. See, the Hebrew line reads more literally, "And all the Israelites did as Yahweh had commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did." Now, of course, the last clause, "so they did," appears to be redundant in the English. And so the English translations decided to not to translate it, because it's redundant. That may be true. However, the Holy Spirit, through the human author, repeated the word "did." So it should be clear that the Israelites carried out what the Lord instructed them through Moses and Aaron. In effect, they obeyed the Lord. Now, someone may say that the word "obey" does not appear in the verse that we're considering, because it simply says, "All the Israelites did just what the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron." So if you read that, you say, "I don't see the word "obey." Well, it all depends on the English version that you have. Nonetheless, if you bear in mind what we said about obedience, then when it is said that Israel did just what the Lord commanded them, it then means that they followed the exact instruction of the Lord through Moses and Aaron. Now, as we explain, that is the essence of obedience. Furthermore, the word "did" in the NIV is translated from a Hebrew word that may mean to do or to make. However, the Hebrew word has other meanings. For example, it may mean to follow a given set of rules or instructions, as it is used to instruct Israel to carry out the Lord's decrees given to them, as we read in Leviticus chapter 20 verse 8. Leviticus chapter 20 verse 8. It is, "Keep my decrees and follow." The same word now, instead of "did," it's translated "follow." "And follow them. I am the Lord who makes you holy." Now the command, follow them, literally is, you should do them. That's how it reads in the Hebrew. Now the Hebrew word may mean to obey. Even though it means to do, to make, it can mean to obey. As it is used in Israel's request for Moses to represent them before the Lord. Now, of course, I've told many times that if you, you know, God's direct voice is not pleasant to hear. I mean, people think, oh yeah, no. If he speaks many times directly to an individual, it is painful. It's not a pleasant thing. Israel knew that from experience because they had God speak. So Moses, no, we're true. Go listen to him. Bring us word. We don't want to hear him speak to us directly. Anyway, so this is the way the word is used in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 27. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 27. It is, go near and listen to all the Lord our God says. Then tell us, whatever the Lord our God tells you, we will listen and obey. See, that's the sentence, we will listen and obey in the NIV. It's literally from the Hebrew, we will listen and we will do it. That's the way it is in the Hebrew. Literally. We will listen and we will do it. But here, of course, the NIV correctly translated obey. So you see then that the Hebrew word translated deed in Exodus 12 verse 50 may mean to obey. In fact, the today's English version and the contemporary English version use this meaning in their translation so that the translators of Exodus 12 verse 50 of those two versions have it this way. This is the way they translated it. The Israelites obeyed everything the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron to tell you. So the point then is that Israel obeyed God's word delivered to them through Moses and Aaron. It is the intent of the Holy Spirit for us then to recognize that Israel obeyed the Lord in that they not only did what they were instructed, they followed exactly all the instructions they received, as that is implied in the sentence of Exodus 12:50 where we're studying. He says again, all the Israelites did just what the Lord had commanded. Now the word what here refers to every instruction God gave Israel in preparation for their departure from Egypt. The Lord instructed them to ask for various articles of silver and gold from the Egyptians, and they did exactly that. No one said, well, I'm very bashful. You know, I'm very shy. I can go and talk to this person. Like, no, they did what they were told. This we can gather from what we already studied in Exodus 12 verse 35. Exodus chapter 12 verse 35. He reads, the Israelites did as Moses instructed and asked the Egyptians for articles of silver and gold and for clothing. So the Lord instructed Israel through Moses to celebrate the Passover and to ensure that they smear their doorposts with blood of the Passover animal. Still in that Exodus 12, look at verses 21 through 23. It is, Then Moses summoned all the elders of Israel and said to them, "Go at once and select the animals for your families and slaughter the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop, dip it into the blood in the basin, and put some of the blood on the top and on both sides of the door frame. Not one of you shall go out the door of his house until morning. When the Lord goes through the lands to strike down the Egyptians, he will see the blood on the top and sides of the door frame and will pass over that doorway. And he will not permit the destroyer to enter your houses and strike you down." That's instruction. And the Israelites definitely carried it out exactly, because look at verse 28. Exodus 12. Look at verse 28. It says, "The Israelites did just what the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron." So the obedience is not in doubt. Hence, all I'm saying, there's no doubt that Israel obeyed God's word through Moses, and that they carried out every detail of the instructions they were given. They weren't what we call a smart aleck. "I don't see the need for blood. What is it going to do for me?" They didn't ask that. They just did what they were told. And if it was a smart aleck among them, he would have found out the long way. But obedience means you don't have to rationalize it. If God says it to you, you do it. So in any case, the second principle then that we are considering is that obedience on the part of believers is the key to receiving God's blessing. Now Israel obeyed God, as we have stated. Therefore, their obedience leads to them reaping God's blessing, as we read in where we're studying Exodus 12, look at verse 51. Verse 51 reads, "And on that very day, the Lord brought the Israelites out of Egypt by their divisions." Now the phrase, "on that very day," refers to the day Israel left Egypt. Now that aside, it does not seem that the action of the Lord reported in this verse is that which results from Israel's obedience. But it is. Now it may be clearer if the Hebrew conjunction translated "and" that begins the verse is translated with a different interpretation. Then it becomes clearer. You see, the word "and" is translated from a Hebrew particle that's, you know, often translated "and" in our English versions. However, the Hebrew particle has other usages. In our passage, it is used either to introduce the result of Israelites' obedience to God's instruction through Moses, so that it may be translated "so" or "therefore." So or "therefore." Or it is used to indicate the Lord's instruction, or the Lord's action here, described in Exodus 12:51, follows sequentially to Israel carrying out the last instruction that concerns the Passover. In that case, it really may be translated "and then." Now, it's probably the case that both interpretations are implied. Now, this, the action of the Lord, which is bringing Israel out of Egypt, results from Israel's obedience, but the deliverance itself followed the act of obedience of the Israelites. So anyway, the blessing of obedience on the part of Israel is their being delivered out of Egypt in an organized manner, as implied in that phrase of Exodus 12:51. Look at that last phrase. By their divisions. By their divisions. Now the word division is translated from a Hebrew word that we considered previously in Exodus 12 verse 15. Hebrew word sabah. Now we indicated that the word could mean military division. Military division. Military division. But in Exodus 12:51, as in verse 17, it means herd. Herd. That is a vast multitude. A vast multitude. So the Lord delivered Israel in such a way that various groups of the Israelites and the other foreigners that joined them did so in an orderly fashion. That's part of that by their divisions. Orderly. Now that aside then, we contend that Israel's deliverance results and follows from the obedience to God's word, supporting the second truthful principle then that we stated, which again is this. Obedience on the part of believers is the key to receiving God's blessing. Now this truth is later conveyed to Israel in Exodus chapter 19 verse 5. Exodus chapter 19 verse 5. It reads, "Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations, you will be my treasured possession, and the whole earth is mine." That's, if you obey me, here's the blessing. The Lord Jesus himself conveyed the same principle in what he stated, that the enjoyment of continuous fellowship with him is for those who obey him. I don't know how many of you, I hope all of us here though, will want to be in continuous fellowship with the Lord moment by moment. But if you're not, you're missing a whole lot. But yes, the thing that our Lord says, if you obey, that will be guaranteed to you, according to John chapter 15, verse 10. John chapter 15, verse 10. John chapter 15, verse 10. It reads, John chapter 15, verse 10 reads, "If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I've obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love." Therefore, if you want to enjoy God's blessings, then you must live a life of obedience to his word. Now you may, because you are enjoying some material blessings, assume that you are enjoying the fullness of God's blessings. So I ask you, are you enjoying? Are you truly enjoying the fulfilled life that Jesus Christ promised his disciples? Are you? So my point is that you should critically examine your life to ensure you're obeying God's word in terms of following exact details of his instruction. Because if you do, my fellow believer, that will be your key to enjoying all his blessings and much more on this planet and beyond. That is a selling truth to all of us. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the study of your word. We pray that God the Holy Spirit will challenge us so that we'll be mindful of being obedient to you. This is our request in Christ's name.